for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2016 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, July the 4th, 2016, Dickie Pinson is the speaker of the service teaching on The Flesh is Weak.
Don't you appreciate Jane?
Yes.
I appreciate everybody here. Praise God. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Your gospel, your word. I thank you for another opportunity, Father, that lives could be touched. And Lord, I preach to myself first. And Lord, I thank you that another opportunity perhaps to lay hands on people and minister the Spirit And we thank you for that, Father. Oh, praise God, Lord. I'd rather be here doing this right now than anything else on the face of this earth. And I thank you for the opportunity. Bless your people, Father. Bless your people, Father. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth into battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Reba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. Right there, David began to make provision for his flesh. Right there. And when he stayed behind and he separated himself from those that he would have been accountable to, right there, he began to make the provision. It reminds you of when his own son put the men out so that he could rape his sister. David sends them off to war and he stays behind. Why do you stand behind David? Because he's making provision for his flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So right there he begins to... I'm going to tell you again this morning that if you cut off the provision, you'll cut off the sin. You understand that? If you cut off the provision, you'll cut off the sin. Verse 2. And it came to pass in an evening. Well, it's going to come to pass. You made provision. It came to pass in the evening that David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. That's his house. He's a king. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look on. Now, why does a woman wash herself? I'm sorry, you're going to have to do something about the baby, please. I'm not being ugly. Nothing I don't do at my church. See the kids acting up? I have stopped in the middle of my sermon going down and taking care of my kids and my grandkids. They thought I wouldn't do it. Daddy's up there preaching. Grandpa's up there preaching. Ain't going to do it. Oh, yes, I will. And thank you. I'm not... Children are precious, okay? We have our nursery. We don't put nursery. We put it cry room. That's where you go when they're crying. If you can't console them. And I understand they're children, okay? Don't have a problem with that. I was at Gospel Lighthouse in Dallas. H.C. Hibbert and Nell Hibbert were the pastors. How many ever heard of them? It's a long time ago. Okay. Great big old round building with a tire on top of it. See for miles. And I was there one time. I was just young myself. And they were having service. And the balcony was round. The building was round. The balcony was round. She stopped that service and pointed up there and said, "Where are the parents of these children? Right now. Right now, you take care of that." And then they went over. I tell parents, you know, you're worshiping God, your kids, being a kid, and you got to stop and deal with them. And then you feel like you can't get back in and worship God again. I said, no, that's the most spiritual thing you can do. Take care of that kid and just go right on worshiping God. Praise God. Amen. They're precious. Praise God. My mother had them with, she pinched us. Oh. You can call that child abuse or whatever you want to call it. She pinched us. No fly swatters or anything. She pinched us. But, you know, it didn't have to happen very many times. She'd give us that look. That look. And that took care of it. Because we knew. I hate doing this. One time I sat there and wet my pants. Because you didn't go to the bathroom after church started. It wasn't going to happen. Sometimes at church I'll say, okay, we need to stop this. You're fanning the doors too much back there. Sit down, you know. Or I'll tell them, go to the bathroom, get all that done. I grew up at a time when if there's a message in tongues, you could hear a pin drop. Now you can, it's like, big deal, you know. Where's the reverence? Where's the reverence? Praise God. Well, okay, thank you. And it came to pass in an evening that David arose from off his bed. I don't know what he's doing on his bed in the evening. And walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a beautiful woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look on. Now, why does a woman wash herself in such a public way as to be visible to men? You women, don't get upset with me now. I'm going to tell you something right now, though. We had in our section a pastor that had an affair with his secretary. Apparently an ongoing affair. Well, he's the bad man. I watched her go around. You might as well have a sign, Victor. Everybody feeling sorry for the pastor, you know, the pastor. They got a new pastor. I knew what her car looked like, and I was driving by there in Sulphur Springs one time. I drove by there, and there was her car and the new pastor. I wanted to stop my vehicle, get out and go in, and tell her to go somewhere, get home. You know, this ain't going to happen again. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It takes two to tango, excuse me.
Yes.
She could have said no.
Yes.
She should have said no. But she didn't say no, but she's the victim.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but okay, so I just want you to understand something about Bathsheba. Poor Bathsheba. What's she doing out there? When it turned summertime, when I worked at Safeway, I knew what was coming. Now the half-naked women are coming in there, almost three-fourths naked now. And you know, put some clothes on. It's bad. If some of these women would look at their backside in the mirror, they would put more clothes on. And some of the men, nasty. It's just bad. Praise God. Cover up, praise God. Quit assaulting our eyes. Men too. Okay. All right, so what's she doing? Now, according, there ought to be a law against it, shouldn't there? You ought to get a ticket for it. My God, help, some of it's so bad. Some of it's so bad. According to the warning of the Lord Jesus, right there, when he looked at her, he committed adultery in his heart with that woman that he looked upon. Right there. And now, just a matter of a few hours later, he's going to commit physical adultery with her. That's like pornography. If you look at pornography, most likely, someday, you're going to end up doing something. That's why we're to cast down imagination, vain imaginations, bring every thought captivity and obedience to Christ. Christ, the image of Christ. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Now, David here makes another provision. He's going on in this. See, you got to see how we're going on in this. How you are, I am, how we're going on in this. It's not just one provision usually. It's a process, a whole line of provision that we're doing. Could have stopped back there somewhere, but we're still making a provision. Why? Because your lust has got control. Your tongue's hanging out, lolled out, you know, you're licking your chops, and there you go. Now, he makes another provision to fulfill the lust and passion of his flesh when he inquires after the woman. When he inquires, right there, he should have cut it off. Right? If he had done anything, he should have sent some of his men down there and told her to please bathe somewhere else. But the Lord has prepared a way of escape so that David will not commit adultery. For a voice announces that this woman is married, and therefore she's already taken, and sex with her is forbidden. It's against the law of Moses. It's a sin. So he is presented with a way of escape. If you look back every time you've ever failed, God most likely provided a way of escape, but you blew right past it because the passion's burning so deeply. And in this couple, this pastor and this woman, both of them having changes, there was points there where it could have been stopped. Don't even go up there. Do something. I have a good friend. Him and his wife operate a girl's home. And he had to get rid of his computer. No computers. So he wouldn't look at pornography. Had another friend, a preacher friend, and he can't have a smartphone. And he can't have any phones that can get on the internet, only a flip phone. You know what? Pluck it out. If you're out of pain, you pluck it out. Your right hand of pain, you cut it off. Rather to do without that than to go into hell with that cell phone or that whatever, that computer. Now, it's also accessible. Now, y'all understand? And it's accessible to your children. I mean, it's accessible to your children. And you need to know what your children are doing and what they're looking at. Pick up that cell phone and look at it. And I don't understand, what is a 10-year-old doing with a cell phone that can get on the internet? Come on, are parents that gullible, naive, or I don't know, what do you call it? I don't think kids ought to have cars till they're 21. That stops a lot of stuff. You know, I'm talking out of the experience on some things, okay? All right, so there's a new way of escape. David overrides the way of escape. That's what we often do. And how many times we've overridden the way of escape that the Lord was so gracious to provide for us. It's like you blew right past the stop sign and you get hit by an 18-wheeler. Now, but let us not presume that the Lord will always place a way of escape so plainly in front of us. Hear this. Or that He will mark it with red flags and banners, flashing lights, with fences and around it, and moats around it with alligators swimming around in it, and or warning signs posted everywhere, or policemen watching in plain view. Or thunderings shouting out at us to flee our youthful lust. It's not always going to be that way. Don't presume it is. Well, I'm going to go ahead and enjoy thinking about this and fantasizing, but I know God's going to give me a way of escape. He's going to do well. It may not happen. It may not happen. First thing you realize, uh-oh. Now, David, if David could have seen into, don't you agree with this? If he could have seen into the future and realized what it's going to cost him and his family and the nation of Israel, if he could have seen that. When his own son is killed by another son, when his daughter's raped by that son that was killed, when his own son is going to usurp the kingdom and violate his wives on top of the rooftop, just like the prophet Nathan said, you did it in secret, it's going to be open. You know how all that worked out, right there on top of the roof, so the whole city could see it. If he could have looked ahead and seen the terrible things that would have... Why is it that we're so blind? Whatever you call it, brain dead, when we're being tempted, and it's not till after we've done it that, uh-oh, and then we realize, why are we so brain dead, so blind before we do the thing? Well, I just didn't know. Well, you did too know. And it's in the Word of God. Now, isn't it interesting? Look, here's why. Okay, look. Hezekiah, what does the Scripture say? God left him alone to test him and see what's in his heart. Let me tell you, that's going to come to you and to me. It's going to come, as somebody said, to a theater near you. It's going to come. And so don't be presuming. Okay. Isn't it interesting how the lust and passions of our flesh blind us, make us like sheep going to the slaughter? It would be wonderful if we could be wise before we sin, as wise as we are down the road after we sin. Verse 4, David sent messengers and took her, and she came into him. I can tell you she didn't come screaming and fighting them all the way. And he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house. Now, would it have been, and I'm not trying to be too personal here, but would it have been a deterrent or a way of escape if she had not been purified from or past her menstrual cycle? Would that have been a deterrent? Would it have been? Would it have been maybe a way of escape? The law of Moses commanded that let me say this first. Perhaps it would have been, perhaps not. It's possible that this sin of adultery would have only been delayed had she not been, purified. Since it was premeditated on at least his part and probably on her part also. The law of Moses commanded that a woman cry out if a man attempted to violate her, or else she was as guilty as the man. Do you know that? The Bible says that. Now, the only excuse it was if they're out in the field or somewhere where no one could hear, then they didn't know if she cried out or not. There's no record of Bathsheba saying, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be part of this. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. Now their sins will find them out. And David will be further tested even to commit murder. And you know how he committed murder. Now, why didn't Bathsheba tell her husband to have David sent for him to get him there and get him to go home and be with his wife so it would look like this child was Uriah's instead of hers? Why didn't he do that? Why did she tell her husband, look, honey, I need to talk to you. I've been unfaithful. I'm pregnant. You don't need to know who with. Whatever. Why didn't she do that? Was it that she saw an opportunity to be a queen? Why didn't she speak up? Perhaps she could have saved her husband's life and prevented David from committing the greatest sin of his life, which was murder, murdering her husband. Now, all this happened because the flesh is weak. Even though the spirit is willing and ready to do what is right in the sight of God. Remember, David was a man after God's own heart. But this is what we all have to remember. But our flesh is weak. Our flesh is weak. The flesh is so weak that it can never be saved, reformed, or transformed. But it can be crucified and put down. We can put our body under in submission. But this must be done on a daily and even a moment-by-moment submission to the Word and the Spirit of God. I know a young man that he'd been involved in pornography and he was wanting to overcome this thing, okay? And when he went in Walmart or anywhere, here's all these women that are dressing inappropriately. I don't care what anybody said. It's inappropriate, okay? And don't you be doing it, men or women. It's inappropriate. It's not godliness. It's not holiness. Even the priest was to wear such a long enough robe that when he walked up the steps of the altar, they couldn't see up his legs. There was a lady in our church when I first went there. She was a charter member. Okay. Well, anyway, I would go down, she had cancer, I'd go down to visit her, pray for her. And she would always sit me right across from her. And her dress or house coat or whatever never was long enough. She was always pulling that dress over there. Well, I couldn't look up her old legs. I thought to myself, woman, ain't no way I want what you got. But it was just... she positioned me. She put me over there. So she could, now get this, so she could in some way accuse me. You understand what I'm saying? She's covering her dress that she's accusing me. And I thought to myself, why don't you put something on long enough where you don't have to do that? Anyway, So he would go into Walmart. You thought I forgot where I was at on that. Sometimes I do, but he goes in Walmart and you need to quit going to the store and whatever. And the Lord showed him, keep your head down. Keep your head down. Look at the floor when you walk. Wherever you go, look at the floor. Well, that's crazy. No, it's not. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. You got a choice, pluck your eye out or look at the floor, you know. Praise God. So, now the flesh is so weak it can never be saved, never be reformed, or never be transformed. You can go to all the 12-step programs you want to, and it's not going to happen.
That's right.
Now, Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray. This is who's speaking? Jesus. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. It's not a sin to be tempted, folks. It's the entering into the sin that is into the temptation that's a sin. That's the sin to enter in. The Spirit, and this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Will you please hear those words this morning? The flesh is weak. Not just in your brother or sister, it's weak in you and me. The flesh is weak. And Mark 14:38 says it this way, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The Spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. I tell you, come out of a Holy Ghost meeting where you just got slain in the Spirit, danced in the Spirit, run the aisles, touch, you know, your tingles going up and down your back, walk out, and something will meet you. and you'll find out how weak your flesh is. I've seen people get blessed in church, and before they get in the lobby, they're yelling at somebody. Fussing. I saw them one time, first church I pastored it out, and these two women were out in the front yard of the church about to go to it. So praise God. Romans 8:3, for what the law, that's the word of God, the commandments, could not do, in that it was weak through or because of the flesh. You know, if you look at all this, God, the Lord gave the law, and man had to keep it, but man has to have help to keep the law. He's called the Holy Spirit. I said he's called the Holy Spirit. And thank God on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And those 120 upper room were transformed. Now, God sent in His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Praise God. Now, Jesus is in the right hand of the Father. So we see Jesus in heaven, the Father in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is here upon this earth, and He's manifesting, He is revealing Christ inwardly, if He's in us. And He is, as Jesus said in John 16, the Holy Spirit, when He's come, He will convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, Romans 7:18. But let me say this first. We have a common enemy. All of us have a common enemy. And it's closer than we think. It's as close as anything can get to us. It's our flesh nature that we're born with and which dwells within every one of us. Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, I know that some people say that Romans 7 was the Apostle Paul was speaking of before he was saved and then after he got saved. No. He's telling of the struggle that you and I, thank God for Romans 7. It explains the struggle that we're all going through. And you and I will go through it until the day we quit breathing or we go up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we must understand what the flesh is, that there is not one good thing in it, and not one good thing will ever come from it. We must learn how. Don't you hate the flesh? We must learn how the flesh operates. What it does, what yielding to it will cost us, etc. We have to learn this flesh. We must understand that the flesh is our enemy. Verse 19, Romans 7:19, for the good that I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And now if I do that I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now here is where many fail. They think because they got saved, are filled with the Spirit, spoke in tongues, using the gifts, or because they sing or teach or preach or get blessed or feel the presence of God, then their flesh went off somewhere and died. Again, till the day we die, the flesh will still be living and attempting to operate in us, to dominate us, to have its way, to be fulfilled. Let me say this. There's an illustration. I don't know if this is, this must be my tablet. Can y'all hear it? Well, praise God, it'll just happen because I don't know how to fix it right now. Okay, so there's an illustration. A boy had a black puppy and a white puppy. And somebody asked him which one could whoop the other. And the boy said, the one I feed the most. Is that right? The one I feed the most. Saints, why are we starving our spirit and feeding our flesh? Some of you are going to go, before you even get home, you're going to be feeding your flesh and starving your spirit. When you get home, you turn that TV on, sit down to feed the flesh. Some of that music you're listening to, you're feeding the flesh. Things you read, conversations you allow yourself to listen to instead of come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing. It's not rocket science. folks. Whichever one you feed, whichever one you starve, how serious are you about making heaven? How serious are you about living a godly life, a holy life? How serious are you? Of course, if you believe in unmerited favor, grace that's unmerited favor, you're not too concerned. It's all going to be taken care of. But that's wrong. You know what grace is? Grace is the power of God, the divine influence of God in our lives. And you take scriptures, just go through the Bible and look and see if that doesn't fit. It does fit, the power of God. For by grace, the power of God, through faith are you saved, that not yourselves, is gift to God. If you would look at John chapter 1, verse 12, and it says, as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Okay? Then you look at that, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So what is grace? Let the scripture define scripture. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power. So what is grace? By grace are you saved. What is grace? The power. Wouldn't you agree that being saved means to become a child of God? So by power, the power of God, the grace of God, you become a child of God. All right? We might cast every demon out of us, but the flesh, listen now, and that needs to be taken care of, okay? But the flesh will still be there, attempted to be in charge so that its lust and affections can be fulfilled. Cast all the demons out, but you're not going to cast the flesh out. It's not coming out. So we have to deal with it. Verse 21, I find in a law. Thank God. He sees this. That when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, does this make you want to give up? To say it's what's the use? Or to question your salvation? Or to question whether or not you ever feel the Holy Spirit? The devil will be right there. The accuser of the brethren will be right there. The QC there. You didn't really get saved. You didn't really get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, don't let this... For I delight, verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man, inside. Don't let this fact deceive you that you have a delight in the things of God. Don't let that deceive you. Well, I'm okay. I feel God. But the flesh is still there. He said, but I see, verse 23, I see another law of my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. How does it feel to be a captive? How does it feel when the devil leads you off by your nose, like you've got a ring in your nose and leading you off and you making you captive? Does that feel good? I tell you what feels good is when we overcome and we don't do it. That feels good. Don't get complacent because you delight in the things of God. For there's still a war that we must fight against the flesh and self. And we'll fight it till this life is over. Don't get complacent. Because you delight. Are you hearing that? Because you delight in the things of the Lord. You'll wake up one morning and say, I didn't think I'd ever do that. Thank God for the day that we begin to see and understand it, what we're up against. To realize that we of ourselves cannot please God. Can I say this? First thing, we're no match for the devil. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You read in Jude where when they were disputing, the angel, the archangel was, and Satan was disputing over the body of Moses, but it said that Michael didn't bring a railing accusation against the devil. I heard of an evangelist going along praying for people, and got to one lady, and he said, devil, why don't you pick on somebody your own size? Well, that's pride. Anyway, but it wasn't long till he lost his marriage, he lost his ministry, lost everything. The devil took him up on the challenge. They speak evil of dignitaries, and they're foolish for doing it. Let me say, have a healthy respect for the devil, for unclean spirits and demons. Don't get proud. Watch out what you get to talking proud. Devil, you have to obey me. Only if you are speaking what God's speaking. Only if it's God, the Holy Ghost, talking through you. Otherwise, He doesn't have to do a thing you say. Be very careful. The Scripture says, take heed when you think you stand. If you get to feeling like you're bigger than the devil, you're going to be in trouble. And let me tell you this, same with your flesh. I'm not going to... We can crucify, mortify our flesh. We have to. We can keep it under. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. When the devil came to Jesus in the wilderness and tempted Him to turn stones into bread, see, that's coming through the flesh. He's hungry. The Scripture says He's hungry. It's okay to eat. We have to eat. But when we are eating too much, see, then it's an obvious sign that the flesh is in control. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, okay? If I was standing up here right now and I weighed 400 pounds and tried to tell you how to live for God, I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's right. Somebody might want to tell me, well, it looks like you need to do some things, you know? What is the fruit of the Spirit? What's that last one? Temperance. Where's the temperance? Don't tell me, and I'm not going to tell myself, that I'm full of the Holy Ghost and I can't control those things. The Holy Spirit sanctifies. He sanctifies. If He's in there, there's some sanctification going on. I know they used to stand and say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you this, sanctification is an ongoing thing. It's every day. And when you get home, everything you've got here is going to be tested. You put something in the offering that you really need to, you know, you didn't know how, but you're obeying God, that's going to be tested. I had a banker yell at me one time because I paid a church bill instead of paying my own bill. And he got ugly with me for taking care of the work of God instead of taking care of my own bill. Now that's the way the world sees it. God takes care of those who take care of themselves, you know, all that stuff. Like every tub's going to sit on its own bottom. Now, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I was one time in Calvary Commission in Lindale. That's where Sister Jerry's from. A lot of ministries there. And Leonard Ravenhill was teaching. He was in his 90s. He was teaching there. Kind of an informal setting. He never raised his voice. I went one time and heard him. I was sitting in the balcony of the First Assembly of God in Tyler, which is a big church. And he's same way, doesn't even raise his voice. And people are running down there, hollering, screaming out, trying to repent. And have to quiet them down so we can hear him. I thought nobody ever did that while I was preaching. I was at B.H. Clendenin's convention one time, and there's hundreds of people there. And while he's preaching, he was preaching about you preachers. He was preaching to preachers. You preachers and wives, you have not directed your children toward the ministry. You wanted them to make money and so forth. He's going on, and you've lost them now. And I saw grown preachers in their suits and ties down on the floor, bawling and squalling while he's preaching. I thought, well, nobody ever did that while I preach. No. But praise God for it. But we were listening to Leonard Ravenhill, and when he got through, we were praying, and this young man over by the fireplace, and if I ever heard such a disturbing cry come out of a man, he's a young man, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm not even going to do it like he did it. But I said, oh, God, help you. Let me say something to you this morning. If you haven't grieved over your sins and you haven't cried out with all your heart, just about as loud as you can get, this little thing coming down and whispering, the preacher says, repeat after me. And you whisper that little prayer. Praise God, this is serious, folks. I mean, cry out to God. Cry out with a loud voice. You know, you didn't do your sin in secret. If you did, God saw it. Oh, wretched man that I am. Are you feeling wretched about your sin, your failures this morning? We like to call it failures. It doesn't sound as bad as sin, does it? Thank God that you are crying out. B.H. Clendenin got saved. He was worked in the oil field. He was a manager, whatever you call them. They got terms for that. He worked the night crew. And the day boss told Brother Clendenin, he said, "Now, when I go home and go to bed tonight, don't you change my mind while I'm asleep. Do y'all understand that? Don't you change my mind." We had that camp, and one year, on the last night, my wife and all, we were over and sleeping in a cabin, and they came and woke me up. "Brother Pinson, you got to come over here. This is awful." Somebody in the boys' dorm let all the boys out to have fun that night, and it was awful. The next morning, we had a staff meeting, and I said, "Who did that?" Well, this young, very young man said, "Well, I did." He said, "These kids hadn't had fun all week. You didn't let them have fun." His, whatever his idea was, fun. And I decided they should have some fun on the last night. He changed my mind while I was asleep. You understand? Okay. But there was this man operating the big drill. You know, drills down. Very dangerous job. He's supposed to watch it all the time. He came by and the guy's asleep. He kicked him hard. Kicked him, woke him up, kicked him hard. "Here come the devil. You're not saved. You kicked the man. You're not saved." He got very disturbed. He went to the pastor and said, "Pastor, what am I going to do?" He said, "Well, let me ask you something. Before you got saved, how would you have felt about kicking him?" He said, "I probably kicked him a few more times and enjoyed every bit of it." He said, "Well, there's your answer." Praise God. You understand? If you weren't saved, you wouldn't feel good. I mean, you wouldn't feel bad about it. You'd feel okay. You know, whatever. Did I get away with it? Did anybody see me? Praise God. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Only the life of Christ being revealed in us by the Holy Spirit will ever change us into the image of Christ." 2 Corinthians 3:18. As we behold Him, as in a mirror, mean the exact image of Christ from glory to glory. That's revelation to revelation. It doesn't all come at one time. We're changing the same image even just by the Spirit of the Lord. You and I can never become what Jesus is unless we can see what He is. And that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, "He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you." Let me ask you a question this morning. Is that happening in your life? Are you seeing Jesus? Is the Holy Spirit revealing Christ in you? The answer to that will tell you where you're at. "I didn't know that we could do all. I didn't know that's part of being a Christian." Well, it is. Romans 8:1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Now, if you have some of these translations, the last part of this verse is missing. "Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." Nothing else is going to set you free from sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, when He comes and lives in you, and you begin to, you grow up into Christ in all things, you're changed the same image as Christ, you come to the full measure of Christ, Christ is being formed in you because the Holy Spirit is showing you Christ. See, you can't imitate Christ. You can't go to discipleship class and learn how to do this. You know, just teaching terrorists how to act like Christians, and they don't even have Christ in them. Well, our church, the one I grew up in, became assistant pastor in there in Dallas. They started having a baseball team and they're competing, and we were at some park in Dallas, and they were playing against another Assembly of God church. And they almost had to call the police that night. I mean, they've gotten the biggest arguments, almost a fist. Doesn't that look pretty? Wouldn't that look good in the newspaper? Praise God. Needless to say, our church doesn't have a baseball team. We did have, when our school was very large, we had a basket. We did all the sports. That's what you're supposed to do. And we went to some of these and churches, playing other churches that were in the league, and the coaches stand on the sideline yelling, "Kill them! Kill them!" You know, what? They had to supply some reps, and we did. And you can't, you can play the team, but you can't beat the team and their reps. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. You want to be free? You want to be free? Again, cast out the demons. But if the law of the life of Christ is not operating in you and He's not being revealed in you, they're coming right back with seven more works. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent in His own Son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Which one are you going to feed? Which one are you going to starve? For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. That's not rocket science, is it? Isn't that pretty plain, folks? Doesn't that make good sense? Whatever your mind's set on, that's what you're going to do. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you can't please God, you're not going to where He is. You'd mess it up. I'd mess it up if I'm not going to please Him. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now there's a problem right there. Because I and you, we can claim whatever we want to claim. I can claim the Spirit of God's in me. But you know the proof is in the pudding. It's in the gifts. It's in the fruit. That's where it's at. If I'm losing my temper, if I'm short with people, if I'm impatient, look at the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, meekness, kindness, faith, temperance. I don't know if I got them in order. Is that operating in your life? Well, I got 3 out of 9.
Some days.
Oh, praise God. Don't say the Spirit of God dwells in you unless you got the fruit to prove it. Not saying that sometimes we won't mess up, okay? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Woo, that is strong, isn't it? In spite of this grace teaching. If you don't have the Spirit of God, if I don't have the Spirit of God, I'm none of His. I don't care what we do. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, or it's dead to sin. But the Spirit is life, or alive, because of righteousness, unto righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. I know we like to quote that for healing, and it's true. We like to quote that concerning going up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. That's true. But I tell you what, if that same Spirit is dwelling in us, we're going to be doing like Jesus did, and He never sinned. If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus, you look in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, and it tells us that the Spirit of holiness raised Jesus from the dead. Because Jesus qualified, the Spirit of holiness raised Him from the dead. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. When the devil comes with his temptations, tell him, "I don't owe you anything. I don't owe that to you. You owe me some favors. You used to do it. Goody two-shoes, what's wrong now?" And sometimes those voices come through people. Oh my God, men. There's somebody going to come by, a woman going to come by, okay? Even if you're really ugly, that doesn't have anything to do with it. There's a woman going to come, could be a man too, going to come by. It may be on the screen. They're going to come by. Women, there's a man. Or another woman's going to come by. We're going to see more and more of that. our children are going to be so confused if they're going to public schools. Now, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die, but if through the Spirit you do mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Get radical. Pluck out, cut off, get radical. This is not a plaything. You're not at Six Flags over Texas or wherever you go. This is for real. This is not a video game where you shoot them, they die, and they get up. This is real. Folks, I preach funerals for people that didn't realize it's real, and they died from what they were doing. They didn't have to die. We had a young man in our church. He's a very handsome, athletic, young black boy that drowned because he went to somewhere his parents shouldn't have let him go with a family that I knew they were out. I mean, they drank and all that. They got him over there, got him drunk. And they jumped in the pond to swim, and he drowned. And there he was right in front of me in that casket. And all those girls come by. He was very popular. Come by, laying their rings on his chest and their necklaces. And I thought to myself, that's not going to do him any good. A pastor not far from us in another town, his son, went over to a friend's house. They let him spend the night. They should not have done that. And that boy was demon-possessed, and he murdered their son that night. He murdered his son. They have a big banner in their gym in memory of, I don't want to say his name, but in memory of and gave, you know, I think it's 17, 18, when this friend, you know, the friend, as far as I know, never served one night in jail. For if you live after the Spirit, you shall die, but if through the Spirit, not yourself, but through the Holy Ghost, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. See how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. In Galatians 5:16, it says, then this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a promise. And it's very simple. Everybody in here can understand. Even the children can understand. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is impossible. If you're led by the Spirit, it's impossible to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. And that works both ways. If you're walking after the Spirit, it'll prevent you from doing what your flesh wants to do. If you walk after the flesh, it'll prevent you from doing what your Spirit wants to do. Spirit is willing. Jesus said it's ready, but the flesh is weak. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you as I warned you before that those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I had an uncle that drowned in Lake Ray Hubbard there near Dallas. And they took his larynx out and had this hole right here. As far I never knew of him to go to church. His garage was lined with cases of beer. His face was red, you know, as alcoholics are. I had a boss one time, a manager at the store, and he Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer from drinking. But he was there on Lake Ray Hubbard, fell in the water, got pushed, don't know, and it's hard to hold that hole and tread water, you know, and he drowned. So they had the funeral. They found a preacher that he talked to when he was 8 years old, and that got him in heaven. They put him in heaven. He talked to that preacher when he was 8 years old. I don't think that's the way it worked. Drunkenness, crowds, and the like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. That's temperance. Against such there is no law. And those that belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and that's an ongoing daily thing. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. That's a real problem. Brethren, if any man's overtaken in a fault or trespass, you that are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of meekness or gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you also be tempted. Right now, we're dealing with, I can't say much, we're dealing with a situation like that. A person that was caught in a fault and failed. Another person over here refused to forgive them. Refused to. I'm standing here telling you, I would have never in my life thought that the person that wouldn't forgive them would end up doing the same thing. The same thing. One thing I want to tell you, God's Word is true. No matter what we think or how we try to circumvent it, what He says will happen. If you and I won't restore those that are fallen in a spirit of meekness, we will be tempted to do the same thing. It's a sad situation. It's about to break up a home. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. Luke 22:40. And when Jesus was at the place, He said to them, "Pray that you enter not into temptation." And said unto them, "Why sleep you? Arise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Matthew 6:13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. It's all right to pray that you won't be led into temptation. In fact, Jesus told us to pray that. Do you get up in the morning and say, "Lord, don't let me be led into temptation today"? Pray that you enter not into temptation. See, pray that you don't. I tell you, our God, why do we want to go to the brink of failing before we claim a promise? Why don't we pray before it ever gets anywhere like that? Ephesians 6:18, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit, and pray, stay alert in this, with all preservation and intercession for all the saints. Pray with, at all times, pray in the Spirit. Let me say this. All of us need to be praying in tongues all the time. I know a builder, very successful builder, and he told me, he's a friend, he's about this tall, hurt your neck looking up all the time. But this man, he's told me several times, he said, "I pray all the time in tongues." He said, "That's how I run my business. That's how I make my decisions. I pray in tongues." And he really does. And God gives him visions and dreams, and he prays in tongues. That's the way to run your business. That's the way to run your home. That's the way to do it. Pray in tongues. Pray without ceasing. There's no way you can do it unless you're praying in tongues. And you don't have to wait till you get in church and the Holy Ghost comes on you to pray in tongues. If you have the gift, you do it. You pray in tongues. You sing in tongues. Sing in tongues. And let me tell you something else. Prophesy in tongues. And you'll know the difference when you are. The gifts of the Spirit, and there at the last he said, "And divers are various kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues." He's not necessarily saying you're going to speak Chinese or Russian or Spanish. He's meaning there's different purposes for speaking in tongues. And there's intercession, there's edification, there's giving a message to the church, and there's prophesying in tongues. Actually, a message in tongues to the church is a prophecy in tongues. It's to be interpreted. It's prophetic word. But prophesying tongues. There was a pastor's wife, and some men in the church, people in the church, left the church, caused them terrible harm. Go across town, start their own church, build a great, big, wonderful building. They're left there with a handful of people for many, many years. And they looked so successful till it finally closed down. But the group that left. But one of them called the pastor's wife on the phone. Now, this pastor's wife had already, I don't know if it's in or after, had a nervous breakdown from this. I had a pastor one time, and his wife went blind because people calling on the phone being ugly. And this pastor's wife, they called, and he talked awful to her. See, they won't do it to the pastor. I've learned this. They'll go to your kids or they'll go to your wife. Chickens, you know. That's what they'll do. They won't come to you. And so he was really, and after she got off the phone, she started praying in tongues. And she noticed that it changed, and it was very like a violent tongue. And and she, whoa, what is this? 2 or 3 days later, somebody saw and said, you hear what happened to so-and-so? Is the man that called her on the phone said, no. Well, he dropped dead. He dropped dead. You know why I have my tractor back I told you about? Because I prophesy in tongues. And I got the tractor. Prophesy in tongues. You'll know it's different because you're talking different. Let me tell you one thing. When you're being edified, when you're edifying yourself, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. When you do that, you'll notice a lot of times it's repetitive. The words are repetitive. The phrases are repetitive. Because it's psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, okay? And so it sounds like the same because you praise God, you know, you're repeating it. When you begin to intercede in tongues, it'll be different. When you give a message in tongues, it'll be different. And when you prophesy in tongues, it'll be different. You'll notice it's like conversation. It's like you're preaching. It's like there's a lot of different words. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
And you'll get very forceful and you point your finger and you're stomping on the floor and things start happening. If you have to go out in the woods or out in the barn or somewhere, get your car, go somewhere, start prophesying. Hallelujah. You'll see some things change. I don't know what if I'm saying the wrong thing? Oh, come on, folks. He said, if you ask for bread, he won't give you a stone. It's the Holy Ghost. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. I used to think that meant sometimes I don't know. It says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to talk to this God in heaven that's the creator of all. But the Spirit prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And I really believe sometimes that groaning is the highest form of prayer you can pray. When you cannot articulate any longer. And you're getting things done. And it's good. Praise God. And instead of, oh man, I've got to pray 30 minutes and I've been here 5 minutes. Seems like I've been here all day. And you really get to praying in the Spirit. First thing you know, it's, oh, I can't quit. You know. Praise God. Matthew, let's see. 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is now close at hand. Therefore be sober-minded and temperate so that you may give yourselves to prayer. And what does the devil in the flesh fight more than prayer? 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walks about seeking whom you may devour. Have you ever had that revelation of what he really is? Revelation 16:15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keeps his garments, lest he be naked and they see his shame. Luke 8:13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy and have no root, which for a while believing in time of temptation fall away. 2 Peter 2:9, I tell you what, as a pastor, when you look out there and somebody got their head down, something going on. That's right. Are they going in and out? They're late getting there. They're going in and out, going to the bathroom. They leave. Something going on. You know it? Them falling into temptation. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver. And that's why you preach truth and you preach righteousness and repentance. So maybe they'll repent. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. Revelation 3:10, because you've kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Listen, there's temptations coming we never dreamed of. We never dreamed this was coming. We're starting to see some of the filth that's being poured out on this nation and the world. He said, but for the elect's sake, he'd shorten that time. He said, if you'll keep the word of my patience, I'll keep you from that hour of temptation that's coming. To try them that all them that dwell on the earth. Don't think you're bigger than you are. 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I keep my body. I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Why do you want to paint up like that when you're going out? Why do you want to dress like that? I'll talk to everybody. Why do you want to do that? What's your motive? Didn't you read in the Bible it says that we're to dress modestly? Praise God. Lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time that is near, is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 1 Corinthians 10:12, therefore let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is taken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with every temptation will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And then finally, Philippians 3:12, not as though I've already attained or were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Oh, praise God. Will you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. The flesh is weak. What are you going to do about it? Well, I went to a revival last year. Well, I go to Lake Hamilton. That's good. You should. You should do these things. That's good. What do you do when you leave here? What do you do when the revival's over? The flesh is weak. If you don't stay on top of this constantly. And listen here, there's no taking a vacation. The devil will come and tell you, you've been a good boy, a good girl for all this time. You need a little fun. You need a little rest time. You need to let your hair down a little bit. Oh, that's a lie of the devil. He said, watch and pray. He said, be sober, be vigilant. I tell you, the church is about as sober and vigilant as my dogs that sleep all day and bark all night. That is, praise God. I go by and kick them. Wake up. You kept me up, you wake up. It's like you parents with little children. You got to learn to keep them awake during the day so they'll sleep at night so you can sleep. Praise God. God bless every mother in here. Bless you, bless you. Praise God. Only a mother could do those things. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All to Jesus I surrender. Are you willing to surrender those things this morning? Listen. You haven't got caught yet, but you're about to. You're about to get caught. You're about to get exposed. And your world is going to come crashing down around you. You're going to be so embarrassed and so ashamed, maybe even arrested. You're going to lose your ministry. Your reputation is going to tank. You may lose your job. I've watched people at work, meat cutter, we had a meat cutter. People, well, he's a meat manager, and he was slipping hams and things out the back door and putting them in a box so when he got off, he could go get them. They caught him. Lost that very good paying job. Had a Christian checker. She was a Christian. Actually, Assembly of God. She was cheating at the register for her friends. You know, discount for letting them. She got caught. I watched her as they walked into the back room. And I thought, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I'm going to ask you this one. Is what you're doing, is it worth it? Are you getting that much out of it? My God, help us. My God, help us. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You know, if you'll give that thing to the Lord, He'll help you with it. Praise God. Somebody said, well, you need to find someone you can confess to and be accountable to. That may work, it may not work. If you can hide it from your wife, you can hide it from your accountability partner. You know that? But there's somebody that sees what you're doing. It's God in heaven. The Holy Ghost sees. We're talking to a group of people this morning that I believe want to make heaven. And you're not going to wake up one morning and say, oh, looky here. I'm in heaven. I wasn't sure I was going to be here. No, you're going to, if I make it, you make it, it's going to be because we intended to make it. Because we were careful. Because we watched. Because we were sober. Because we were vigilant. Because it's the most important thing in our life to please God. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. It's been a wonderful camp, hasn't it? Heard the Word of God preached by all these speakers. We worship God. We heard good, wonderful music. We've had good fellowship, haven't we? Things have really been accomplished. People have gotten free, healed. I thank God for that. I want to say that. Now, if you'd like prayer this morning, if you want to be prayed for, if you come and stand here across the front, we'll be glad to pray for you. Want to pray for you. It's an honor and a privilege. If you've got time, I don't know what you want to do, but if you want prayer, if you'll come, praise God. Anyone, I'm not going to hold this that long. Praise God. There's a God that'll meet you here. I'm not Him, but I'll pray with you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I used to get saved every Sunday night. That's the only reason I'm still standing behind this pulpit. You know, it's good. It's good. Live a life of repentance. I didn't understand I just needed to repent what I needed to do. I thought I needed to get saved. Any others? I'm going to ask you, why don't you find a place to pray this morning? And when you're through, you're dismissed to go and eat. It's free. This meal is free. And remember the camp in prayer. Remember everyone that works here. Remember Brother Miller. Remember. But would you just take some time to pray and commit everything to the Lord? And then, Lord, bless the food and bless us as we go home. God, help us to walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' wonderful name, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.